If you've been here for the last couple weeks, you know that Pastor Mark has been leading us through a sermon series entitled Life Hacks. Life Hacks. And if you've not been here, let me catch you up a little bit as best I can. Life Hacks are tips, are shortcuts, are tricks that create efficiencies in life, or that make life a little bit easier. They provide for us maybe a certain kind of folksy wisdom, or at least knowledge of a better way to do something, to get the same result, but doing something different. Certainly, we could all benefit from life being a little bit easier, wouldn't you agree? So in the series on life hacks, which is based upon the Old Testament book of Proverbs, we've been introduced to some tips that have helped us with certain aspects of life. When Pastor Mark talked about marriage, you saw a video with Mark Mayhew, one of our members, showing us how to fold a fitted sheet quite well, maybe too well. I don't know how many of you have actually watched that video and tried to do that, but it's as often as the case, it's not as easy as a person on TV says it is. So you might try that. But we learned about that, and we learned about how to serve our spouses. And last week, as Pastor Mark shared about integrity and character from the book of Proverbs, Will Anderson and Gabe Martinez showed us an example of how taking pictures on your phone when people borrow something from you will help you keep track of those things that you've loaned out. And maybe even help you get them back if you're the one borrowing them, or possibly if you're the one that is doing the borrowing, it will help you to return them back to its rightful owner. We don't know yet if Will will ever get his copy of Frozen back, but we'll just have to see. Today we're going to look at another topic in Proverbs. We're going to look at the topic of perseverance and laziness. Perseverance and laziness. And to be quite honest with you, it's difficult to think of a life hack for perseverance. There's not a shortcut. It's just something that we have to go through, that we have to do, that we have to seek the Lord's help with and muster up within us with the help of the Holy Spirit to go do that which we are supposed to do. Sometimes God wants to teach us trust and patience in difficult times, and so we persevere through that. The point is that it's not easy. So oftentimes, rather than persevere, we become lazy. We look for excuses. We find them because we don't want to go through difficulties in life. We don't have to look very hard for excuses, do we? They're all around us. The world gives us ample excuses to not do the right thing. The enemy tempts us to not do the right thing. And our own evil desires come alongside and work against us in that way. So in looking for an example of how we display courage and perseverance, we came across a video of a young man. Now, the video was actually a commercial when it came out, but this is one of those rare cases, a rare instance, where the story eclipses the product. So we thought it was important that we showed it to you. The young man that you're going to see, this child, his name is Nico. And he challenges the notion that when we're faced with adversity, when we're faced with an obstacle, when we're faced with an opportunity, but we have to go through something difficult to seize the opportunity, that we should not give up. We should not look to find someone to blame for our situation. Instead, what we see Nico doing is persevering in the midst of difficulty. When laziness would have been easy, he persevered. Let's watch this video together.
Can you stand up on one leg, Nikolai?
No!
Oh, oops, bumped your head.
Hop, did you hop, hop? Hop,
hop, hop.
Nikolai.
Hop, hop, hop from your foot. Me to help you? One, two, three, whoa.
What do you think you're gonna do today?
Play.
Let me start first.
You don't have to hop this way. Now?
Well, there's a sermon in there, wouldn't you agree? But so often is the truth, we find that life illustrates the truth of Scripture. Scripture is not there to illustrate the truth of life. So let's go to the source of Scripture and see what God's Word has to say on this topic of perseverance and laziness. If you have your Bibles, take it and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs, chapter 6. We'll explore this topic more this morning. We're going to look at Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Here is the word of the Lord. Go to the ant, you slacker. That's a good way to start, isn't it? Go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. How long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. Your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. Other translations use the terms sluggard. Go to the ant, you sluggard, or you slacker. Well, what in the world is a sluggard? What is a slacker? Raymond Ortland Jr. will help us with this definition. He says this. He says, what is a sluggard? Think of the way syrup oozes slowly out of a bottle when it's cold. That is the sluggard, sluggish and slow and hesitant when he should be decisive, active, forthright. His life motto is, don't rush me. The Bible says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. He's lazy, constantly making the soft choice, losing one opportunity after another, after another, after another, day by day, moment by moment, until he lies there, helpless in his wasted life. Let's all admit it, Ortland says. Let's all admit it. There's a sluggard deep inside each of us. A sluggard deep inside each of us. In fact, the book of Proverbs talks about this topic in other areas, not just in this particular passage in chapter 6. It says a few things about a sluggard or a slacker or a lazy individual. One thing it says about the sluggard is that the sluggard will not make up his mind. We read in this particular passage here, verse 9, how long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? The point is that the sluggard or the slacker or the lazy individual doesn't know the answer, and he would prefer not to even think about it. So he says, I'll do it later, or I'm not sure, or I really don't know. He puts off that decision. The sluggard is not decisive. There's no urgency. There's no sense of importance. There's no determination. There's no definitive plan. And as a result, he rarely accomplishes anything that's worthwhile to himself or to others. You see, for him to commit to a decision would be to open himself up to accountability. If the question is, when will you get up? And if the sluggard says, I'll get up in 2 hours, now there's accountability in his life because that person may come back and say, it's now been 2 hours, you need to get up. But by putting off the decision, by not making up his mind, or at least not saying that he's made up his mind, he doesn't have accountability in his life. He skirts accountability. The truth is, he probably does know when he's going to get up, not for a while. He'll lay there until he's good and ready. So we see that the sluggard just doesn't want to make up his mind. A second thing that the proverb says about a sluggard is that he will not finish things. In chapter 26, verse 15, the writer of Proverbs says, the slacker buries his hand in the bowl. He's too weary to bring it to his mouth. Think about that. He buries his hand in his bowl. He's too weary to bring it to his mouth. If the sluggard or slacker does begin a project, or if he does make a commitment, he's not very likely to follow through or to complete that commitment. He or she may have good intentions. They may have started off with this idea that, okay, today I'm going to do something worthwhile. I'm going to complete this project, or I'm going to begin this initiative, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. They may even take the first step to it, but they never complete it. So their life and sometimes their home is filled with examples of unfulfilled intentions, abandoned projects, and frustrated relationships. You see, they're often surrounded by frustrated friends and frustrated family members who are still hoping, oftentimes beyond hope, but they're still hoping that the sluggard will come through. In their heart, they fear that nothing will change, but they're hoping that that spouse or that child or that coworker is hoping that the sluggard, the slacker, the lazy individual will come through, will do something to add value to them or to add value to the family. But that's a hope that often gets deferred, and the scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So hopelessness sets in because laziness affects not just the person who's lazy, but those around him and those around her. It goes beyond themselves. A third thing that the proverb says about a sluggard is that he will not face things as they are. He will not face things as they are. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13, the scripture says this. The slacker says, there's a lion outside, I'll be killed in the public square. The slacker would rather make up a story that would provide for them an excuse than to do what they should do. And that's what that is. I mean, it's not likely there's going to be a lion out in the middle of the road. I suppose it's possible, but it's not likely out there on Main Street. But see, for the sluggard, what's really out there is much more frightening. What's really out there is a life, a job, a mission, a possibility to fulfill for Christ. But the sluggard or the slacker or the lazy individual doesn't want to face things as they are, so he or she makes up excuses. And so they end up wasting their life away. With excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse, they refuse to embrace the adventure that God has placed before them. And so life just dwindles away a little at a time. Now, I understand this all sounds comical. These are caricatures, right? And I suppose to some degree, the writer of Proverbs is trying to do that, trying to grab our attention using some sarcasm perhaps or some satire. And so we're tempted to see here a humorous caricature and laugh at a person who wants to stay in bed rather than make a decision to get up and go do something. I mean, really, who is this person who can't even put a spoon in the bowl and doesn't have the energy to raise the spoon up to their mouth to feed themselves? Who really is that person? We really want to make a joke about the man who designs nonsense excuses to avoid work and responsibility. In fact, we do. With some hesitation, I want to share with you a satirical article from the website The Babylon Bee. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's a Christian satire site. So this is not a real article, but it's written as though it were, right? So the headline of the article says, "Local man to mortify indwelling sin of laziness tomorrow." Citing a recent study of the book of Proverbs as the source of his inspiration and conviction, local Christian Jonathan Pease boldly declared Friday afternoon that he will launch his radical plan to start getting serious about fighting his persistent tendency toward laziness tomorrow. "I've waited too long to do this. I won't hold out another day," Pease wrote in his blog, which tackles topics like Christian living and theology. "Therefore, I'm going to get started on fighting this sin of laziness and procrastination immediately tomorrow." He went on to state that he would have started today, but he wasn't feeling it at the moment. While Pease expressed his excitement about cracking down on his responsibility shirking first thing in the morning, the blogger did acknowledge the possibility that the start date for his anti-laziness initiative might be pushed to the following day or the day after that, depending on how he feels tomorrow. We make fun of these things. You know, and of course, the reason why satire is funny is because we know that there's a lot of truth in that, right? We know people like this, and maybe we're the person like that, because as Ortland said, there's a little bit of a slugger in each of us. I mean, it's quite possible to be very industrious in one aspect of your life and be very lazy in another aspect of your life. You can be very productive over here and yet be very unproductive over here. And so what we need to do as believers is let the Scripture impact every aspect of our lives, not just a part of it. Not just a part that's convenient. I mean, it's easy for us to say, yes, I do that, I'll check that off, I'm good, knowing that in deep recesses of our heart, there are pockets of resistance to the authority and the sovereignty and the purpose of God. God doesn't laugh at sluggishness. That's why it's in the Scripture. And the writer of Proverbs teaches us that there's wisdom in relationship to laziness. So going back to consider our primary text this morning, let's walk through this briefly and see what it is we can learn from these passages. The writer begins with this emphatic statement, "Go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise." Why in the world would you go to an ant? Well, it's an illustration from creation. God created the world, including the ants. And so God says, look at this, consider this, consider the ant, learn from it, and grow. There's something about the way I've created ants, about how they go about their business, if you will, that I want you to see if you're a slacker, if you're an individual who struggles with laziness and no motivation to accomplish anything and in a reluctance to embrace the life that God has called you to leave because you don't want to invest the time or the effort or the resources to get it done. Go to the ant and watch. It's interesting to note here that ants, of course, are creatures that are subject to humans. I mean, didn't God say that we are to subdue the entire earth? But because of the fall, because of sin, that order is reversed. Sin, in this case, laziness, has consequences for the created order. So now God is saying, go to the ant. You have dominion over the ants, but you need to go to the ants and put yourself in a situation where you learn from them because they're doing what they're created to do. And you're not. And so we see sin as part of all this. And in that, in fact, we see the seriousness of laziness. It's not something that we are to poke fun at. It's not something that we are to laugh at or to scoff at or to kind of say, oh, it's no big deal. That's just how he or she is. Rather, it's a spiritual issue. And so the writer of Proverbs goes on to say then in verse 7, without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food in harvest. The ant has initiative. The ant has initiative. It has internal motivation. Now, I thought to myself reading this, now, wait a minute. Don't ants have like a structure of governance, if you will? They have a queen, and then there's worker ants and things like that. So I began to look around, not being an entomologist or a biologist. I found another website that I don't think is satirical. It's called askabiologist.com. Here's what it says about that. It says the queen, although it's larger in size, doesn't boss the workers around. Instead, workers decide which tasks to perform based on personal preference, interaction with nestmates, and cues from the environment. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it just does its job. And yet we have a leader, Christ our Savior, who gave for us an example and then a command to follow his example. So we need to have initiative in our life to do things for the Lord, to do those things which God has spoken to us to do, to embrace the possibilities and the opportunities around us, to bless the world, to take the gospel to the world, to bless our families, to invest in them spiritually, to do a good job in your job, to work hard in your studies, whatever it is that God has placed before you in this season of life, you need to have initiative, some internal motivation that really comes from the Holy Spirit. That's the opposite of a sluggard. The sluggard has to be asked, how long will you stay in bed? There's things to be done. But the ant just gets up and goes and does it because he's motivated internally. Verse 8. It prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. Not only does the ant have initiative, the ant is industrious. It's a hard worker. There's some future preparation here. It gathers food during harvest and it puts its provisions aside so that it will have something for later. God gives you and I an opportunity today to prepare for tomorrow. You say, Kevin, I really can't predict the future. And I say, you're right. But here's what I believe about the will of God. I believe that what God is doing in my life today prepares me for what he's going to do tomorrow, even if I don't know what tomorrow is. And so if I slack today and don't do or don't learn what I need to learn today, I'm not going to be prepared for tomorrow. See, God knows what's coming, but I don't, and you don't. So the best thing we can do is be responsible and to be initiative and to show initiative and to be industrious today so that God's good and perfect plan can be fulfilled in our lives tomorrow. This is the opposite of a sluggard also. A sluggard might start the job, but wouldn't finish it. Perseverance demands that we don't make an excuse like the sluggard. There's a lion out in the street, I might be eaten. Perseverance demands that we don't make excuses, but that we go out and do that which God has called us to do. Verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. Like all sin, the sin of laziness starts slow and can overtake the individual before he or she knows it, before he or she recognizes it, or before he or she recognizes they're so far down this path that there's so much distance now between where they are and where God wants them to be that it becomes overwhelming. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms. Surely that's okay, right? Well, listen, of course, we are finite creatures, right? We have to have sleep. We're designed that way. God, our Creator, God the Father, He designed us that way. We have to have sleep. We have to have food. We have to have water. And so we have to have times of refreshment. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the person who has a job to do and doesn't want to do it. So he says, you know, just a little more rest or a little more slumber, or maybe I'll just fold my arms just for a little bit. And that's the beginning of a train of sin that ultimately will lead to destruction. You see, there's consequences to every sin, including to laziness. There's also consequences to perseverance. Of course, those are good consequences. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says in chapter 24. This is interesting. It's a different chapter than we're looking at now, but he will end with the same statement. If it's in the scripture, we can know it's true. If it's in there twice, that says something, right? Listen to what it says. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. I went by the field of a slacker and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. Thistles had come up everywhere, weeds covered the ground, and the stone wall was ruined. I saw and took it to heart. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. You see, there's consequences when we're lazy that will ultimately lead to destruction. When we persevere, when we're industrious, when we have initiative, good things happen. What are some ways that we're tempted to be lazy? What are some areas in our life that we're tempted to be lazy? I want to share with you three or four. But before I do, I want you to keep this one concept in mind. Each of the areas I'm going to share is an area where God has a specific design in mind. God has a plan. And laziness thwarts that plan. Laziness keeps us from doing that which God wants us to do. So one area that we're often tempted to be lazy is in the area of relationships with our family and with our friends. Maybe we don't want to invest the time learning our spouse, really understanding who they are. Maybe we don't want to invest the emotional energy to get a little bit better at relationships in our family. Maybe we're really too lazy to invest the time or the effort to disciple our family. That sounds great for other people to do. I'm all for it. Go get them. But for me, I'd rather watch the basketball game. Or I'd rather go out and work in the garden. Or I'd rather hang out on Facebook. There are things that we need to be doing. And when we don't fulfill those things, what happens is our relationships suffer. As I mentioned earlier, people learn when we're not trustworthy. People learn when we're lazy. Our families see that. Our children see that, and they become frustrated, and they get the wrong image of what it means to be a godly man or a godly woman. They learn that you can't be trusted, that they can't depend upon you. And that's true not just of our family relationships, but also of our friendships. Don't you want to be someone who's dependable? Someone who's seen as dependable? Someone whose children see them as someone they can count on? So relationships is an area where we're tempted to be lazy, and we need to fight that. Another area where we're tempted to be lazy is in work or in school. The consequence of being lazy here is that we're unproductive. We fail to succeed. We're unfulfilled. God has given us work. And for men especially, the work that we have is to be fulfilling. It is to bless us. God wants to bless us through the work that we do. And so when we short-circuit that, we also short-circuit the blessing of God. We don't receive that blessing of knowing that we've done a good job, that we're giving ourselves to a purpose. Our witness also suffers. because people know that you profess Christ and that they see your work ethic that's lazy, how are they to process that? What message does that send to them? And that's true in school as well. How you go about your job, your work, your life as a student says a lot about what you believe about Christ and His work in your life. A lot about your witness. And a lot about how you prepare today to succeed tomorrow. Proverbs 13, chapter 4 says, "The slacker craves yet has nothing, but the diligent is fully satisfied." Proverbs 18, 9 says, "The one who is truly lazy in his work is a brother to a vandal." A comparison between a lazy man and a vandal. So we can be tempted in our relationships to be lazy, tempted in our work or in our school to be lazy. We can also be tempted in our finances to be lazy. Tempted in our finances. You know, in most cases, people who have struggles financially, it's not about the amount of money that they make, it's how they spend their money. It's not. You can have someone who makes a modest income, and yet they manage their money very, very well, and they are content in that, and even often have money to give and to enjoy life after they pay their responsibilities. And you can have someone who makes a large sum of money, and they're miserable because they just are very lazy, and they're not very intentional about how they spend their money. In fact, with married couples, when they come in, if finances are the issue, it's almost never related to how much money they make. I've counseled couples who make very little and they're happy as a lark, and I've counseled folks who make well above six figures and they're miserable. Let's not be lazy in how we see our money, how we spend our money, throwing it here and throwing it there and throwing it here and throwing it there. Let's be disciplined and intentional, for God has a plan for our finances as well. A consequence of living lazy with our finances is that we end up living paycheck to paycheck. We're unable to give freely to the purposes of God, whether it be to the church or to help others in need. Laziness can really come up to bite us there. A fourth area is in the area of spirituality in church. We get lazy in our spirituality. Everybody who's been to church for any length of time knows, at least cognitively, they understand the importance of investing time reading the Scripture. It's a basic fundamental fact that one of the most important things you can do to grow in your faith is to invest time in Scripture. But it's also something that people find very difficult to do because there's always something else to do instead, right? Whether it's sleep a little bit longer or do this activity or do this activity. And so laziness in our spiritual life leads to spiritual stagnation. We wonder why we don't have spiritual victory, and it's often because we're too lazy to invest ourselves in the kind of spiritual activities that build spiritual strength and that gives us joy and that gives us victory in our lives and for the kingdom of God. When we're lazy spiritually, we become apathetic, and ultimately we become sidelined out of the action. And that's personal spirituality. When we're lazy in the church and we refuse to find a place to serve, the whole church suffers. Not just you. The whole church suffers because God has given each of us a gift, a spiritual gift, that we are to employ within the context of the church. What lies at the root of laziness? A few things I would say about this. One thing that lies at the root of laziness is complacency. This attitude that I've accomplished all I want to accomplish. This is different than contentment. Contentment is good. Contentment is realizing God has provided this for me. I don't feel like I need to have anything more to be complete or to be happy. I'm glad that God has given me these things. But complacency says, I've accomplished all I want to accomplish. I can just coast the rest of the way in, live on yesterday's victory, and I have no drive for the future. And often that's at the root of laziness. I have no desire to take that next step. There's pride in that. When humility says, thank God that I am where I am, but I want to push further. I want to know Him more. I want to be used by Him more in more places and in more ways. I want to grow in my faith. Laziness works against that. Another thing that lies at the root of laziness often is defeat, which says, I've tried and I've lost. I can't. The problem is often it's not that we've tried and failed, but that we've never really tried. Or even if you have tried and failed, that's okay. Get up and go again. Get up and go again. Get up and go again. Another thing that lies at the root of laziness is fear of failure, which says if I don't try, I cannot fail. I'm not willing to put myself out and risk something new because if I do, I might fail, and I'm not sure I can deal with failure. So much of the Christian life has come to terms with our failure. That we've failed in our purpose, our designed purpose to worship God and to glorify Him alone. We fail when we sin. And yet God says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've tried and failed, get up and go again. If you've not yet tried, don't be afraid of failure. That's okay. You learn through failure. Another thing that lies at the root of laziness is frustration. I see no progress here, so I give up. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to lay here, and I'm going to do what I'm doing, because to keep doing what I'm doing only leads to more frustration. We got to push through that. We need to ask God's help to push through that laziness in our life. Another thing, the last thing that lies at the root of laziness is that when we prioritize comfort over commission. God has commissioned you and I to go into the world, to be men and women, students, children, boys and girls who honor Him, who glorify Him. When we prioritize comfort, that says it just feels too good to lie here and do nothing. This is better for me. If that's you, you need to ask God to show you the truth, because what's happened is the enemy's lying to you. And you've come to believe that just to be comfortable is the highest value in life, when God says, oh no, to be called and used by me is the highest value in life. And we need to understand that. How do you break the cycle or the habit of laziness? What if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, there are some areas in my life that I now see I need to get up and move from. I need to commit myself to getting some things done, whether they be in my home or at my work or in my finances or in my church or other areas of your life that perhaps I didn't speak of. Here are five things briefly that you can do that are very practical. Number one, do an honest assessment of the cause of your laziness and the result of your laziness. What's at the root of it? And what are the results that you and other people are dealing with because of your laziness? Number two, repent, confess that as sin, and confess it and repent. God, I agree with you that I've been lazy in this area. And I know that that doesn't meet your standard. And I'm sorry. I confess that to you as sin. Come to terms with it as a spiritual issue. Number three, ask God for help. Make a spiritual commitment, but much more than just your commitment. Ask God to empower you through by the Holy Spirit to get up and get the things done that you need to get done so that others can be blessed by that. Number four, small steps. Pick one project. If there are multiple areas in your life where you've struggled with laziness, choose one thing, get it done, build some momentum in your life. What is the one area of your life where you need to be active decisively and desperately? Start there. Number five, follow through. Start with one area, follow through, build momentum. You'll get somewhere. We don't often have the opportunity to see how a life of perseverance changes a man's course. We don't see that very much. But in Nico, we do. There are other videos of Nico. You saw him as he grew up a little bit older and became an accomplished soccer player. There are other videos that we didn't have time to show this morning that shows just how far he came, how far he got because of perseverance in his life. How easy would it have been for him to embrace laziness? Later in life, he becomes a young man accomplished in soccer, and I guess, I believe he also accomplished much in life. Here's what Ray Ortland Sr. says. As we bring this to a close, he says, your danger and mine is not that we become criminals, but rather that we become respectable, decent, commonplace, mediocre Christians. Our temptations that really sap our spiritual power are the television, banana cream pie, the easy chair, and the credit card. The Christian wins or loses in those seemingly innocent little moments of decision. Did you hear that? Our danger is not that we become criminals, this really what the world sees as bad people, but our danger is that we become commonplace, mediocre, powerless Christians. We win or lose in the seemingly innocent little moments of decision. This morning, my challenge to you is to decide to act in an area where you've been lazy, to decide to persevere, to push through where you faced resistance. How long, the Proverbs writer says, how long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? How long will you stay in bed? How long until you get up from your sleep? Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, please? We don't often talk about the subject of laziness. I think in part because we do have a caricature of the lazy person in our mind and we feel removed from it. But as we've seen this morning, it's a sin that's got to be dealt with on a spiritual level. So in just a few moments, we're going to have a time of invitation and just allow you to respond to whatever way in which the Spirit may be moving in your life. It may be that you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. And so you've really had no spiritual motivation to do better. But that the Spirit's working in your heart and telling you, calling you to Himself, and you need to make a commitment of faith in Christ and make that public. We invite you to come forward in a few moments when we begin to sing. It could be that you're here this morning, and for many of you, I suspect this is likely the case, that you're here this morning and perhaps God has pointed out to you an area in your life where you need to get a little bit better in this area of laziness. Maybe one of those deep pockets in our heart that we reserve just for ourselves. No one really knows about it, but you know that you're lazy in that area, and you need to commit that to the Lord. And you can do that from your seat while you're standing in a few moments, or you can come forward. I'd be very happy to greet you and to pray with you about that. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you are very interested in learning more about what it means to be a part of Linwood Baptist Church. Perhaps you'd even like to join our church. This will be an opportunity for you to respond to whatever way the Lord may be speaking to you. Heavenly Father, as we come to this moment in our service, I see here a sense of culmination. That what began with vibrant worship songs and testimony and your word, and you've laid before us, allowed us to have these experiences. And now we need to respond. And so, Father, I pray that you would work through your Holy Spirit to allow us to do that, to help us to respond to your graciousness and your goodness. Help us to do that now in Jesus' name. Amen.